You're listening to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast with Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths.
Inside the Fox 59 CBS 4 podcast studio, welcome to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. Free agency edition. Alongside Mike Chappell and Matt Adams, I'm Dave Griffiths. Glad to have you along here. If you're watching on YouTube or on Fox 59 now, we certainly appreciate that. As now we are just technically hours away from free agency beginning. However, so many moves have been made over this tampering period.
Agreed to terms.
The agreed to terms period. And Mike has told us, of course, in the past how the tampering word is kind of a misnomer. Yes,
it used to apply, and now it doesn't.
But no, it's everything is official. Everything is by the book. So it's a chatting period. It's a, do you like me? Yes or no?
Well, you can arrange your contract.
Back and forth. Yes, exactly.
You could all but everything. Sign the contract. Mm-hmm. Yes, and they do. It's amazing how you're not supposed to have any contact with people, yet deals are done at 12:01 mm-hmm. on Monday. Incredible.
Oh, it's a miracle how that happens. Hmm. But anyway, over the past couple of days, NFL players have been spending their time who are about to be free agents, agreeing to deals with new teams. And that certainly includes the Indianapolis Colts. We've talked about it for the past couple of weeks. Moves that we expected, maybe some moves or numbers that we didn't expect for some of these players. But ultimately, the one thing that has been the overarching topic of discussion for us has been the quarterback, because that's been the one that the Colts have been stressing over the past couple months. And they have a new backup quarterback to challenge Anthony Richardson this next year. And his name is Daniel Jones, former first round pick of the New York Giants, earned a second contract with New York after leading them to a playoff appearance several years ago. Since then, things have been terrible for Danny Dimes in New York. And you can argue how much that has to do with him and how much that has to do with others. The Colts clearly have the opinion that a fair point of it has to do with his supporting cast there in New York, which admittedly was not good. It's a reason that they,
they made the playoffs, Barkley rushed for like 1,300 yards.
Yes, he did.
So it helps. It's amazing when you get better help, mm-hmm. what you can do.
Yes, when you have a reasonable run game behind right. you, a more than capable run game behind you, and a all-world running back in Saquon Barkley behind you, and a better offensive line or better weapons at the time or whatever have you for him as a quarterback. Now he's going to come, and he's going to be the backup to Anthony Richardson. And what Chris Ballard has said is this is an open competition between the two, that he really wants it to be a challenging and not just hand the starting job over to the third-year quarterback who has less than one season of starts to his record in his 2 years. But it's going to be a battle between those two. Chap, how legitimate a challenge do you think Daniel Jones poses as a backup quarterback to Anthony Richardson as the starter?
Well, first of all, the $14 million tells you the Colts wanted real competition. Mm-hmm. And I think that it will be open competition. But I also believe that whenever this thing begins, you know, they report April 21st and then things begin and then you slowly work your way in. Richardson has to open with an edge, whether it's 60-40 or whatever. He's the incumbent. He's been in the system for 2 years, and he's the player that you've invested 2 years in the fourth pick in the draft and the $33 million rookie contract in. So at least in your mind, he has to have an edge. He has to start out. You know, somebody has to take the first snap in the first practice, and it's got to be Richardson.
Right.
But if this is going to work, which I'm still skeptical, mm-hmm. I am and I have been and I will be, but it has to be open. Like I've said before, we're going to watch OTAs. We're going to watch training camp. And I realize it's 7-on-7, 11-on-11 without serious defense. We'll see who's playing better. You know, I go back to the rookie year when Minshew and Richardson played. And I don't know that either player really distinguished himself, but Richardson did not. AR was not the clear starter, but it has to be open. Or what are you doing? The locker room knows who's playing better, who merits it. So it's gotta be open. And I've said from the start that, and especially now with Jones, if Richardson can't beat out Daniel Jones, then they totally missed on the pick. Because he has to for so many reasons. And how this team's going to have to reset big time if Richardson's not the guy. And even if Daniel Jones comes in and takes them 12-5 and they win the South, it's going to be really curious how they move forward, because Richardson can't be here if Daniel Jones is your starter at the end of the year.
The line from the movie Moneyball was, it's not about the money, it's about what the money says.
Right.
And that's the first thing you brought up in describing this scenario, that a $14 million deal for a backup quarterback is a hefty, hefty price tag.
Now, one thing I'll say, somebody put it on social media, it's crazy that your backup quarterback is earning more than your starting quarterback. He's on his rookie contract.
For a rookie deal, that's not totally
abnormal. And let's not forget that he got $33.9 million guaranteed. So it's not like he's, you know, in the corner of Keystone and 65 with a I need help sign.
It's not even Brock Purdy making $200,000 a year.
Changes, how about Atlanta with Kirk Cousins earning whatever it is, $44 million as Penix backup? So to me, that's a non-issue. We can argue whether they overpaid for Daniel Jones. And my answer is no. If you're going to bring in serious competition, you were going to pay for, if not him, look what Justin Fields got with the Jets. Now, you weren't going to pay that.
Right.
You weren't going to pay Sam Darnold money that he got. So you were going to pay $10 million minimum. So I'm not all that upset with the contract. I'll post something later in the day. And my take on the quarterback position is, what this is going to be is the overarching storyline throughout the year, the offseason, training camp, and the season. Whenever somebody wins the competition, it's still going to be, what about the backup guy, especially if it's Richardson? So, but this is one that the team has created, more so than that, Richardson created, by not staying on the field and by being incredibly inconsistent as a passer. So this is what we've got. And from now until January, the overarching story is going to be the quarterback.
And he's 64.1 career completion percentage for Daniel Jones.
Well, you take that, wouldn't you?
It's a whole lot more than 47 last year, isn't it, Matt? And that's what Colts fans want to see. Like, they want to see, like, well, more than just completing passes, but that's got to be like a baseline. Let's complete some passes here.
What's your baseline? I keep saying 55% or so. And that's such a low bar.
See, mine would be 60,
right?
And that's not even, I mean, in today's NFL, that's not even
you're
tremendous.
Right.
64 is not even that great in today's NFL. No. It's really not.
But it is a little bit better than Richardson's. We'll just say that. Just say that.
Right. And Daniel Jones, as I mentioned before, did lead the Giants to the playoffs before. Got them a playoff win, in fact, in that year with Saquon Barkley having a good year, as he is known to do. And he earned a four-year, $160 million contract, was a notable $40 million man there in New York.
A lot of smoke and mirrors in that contract.
Very much so. There were. Yeah. Yes, there admittedly were. But his career record as a starter is 22 wins, 44 losses, and one tie. So he loses twice as much as he wins in his career. And of course, when Saquon left, or he doesn't have Saquon, those numbers were remarkably down, which, again, you can expect that because the Giants were kind of built around him at the time and trying to build up their young rookie quarterback. So with that dynamic run game. So I'm not, it's not a harsh criticism of him. I don't intend it to say that, but it is at least a partial criticism to say that he couldn't lift the value of the rest of the team anything significant. Chap's looking at his phone like something's going down.
Again, we all get hung up on quarterback starting records. It's 22. What is it?
22, 44 and one.
Trevor Lawrence, 22-38.
There you go. Mm.
So, you know.
So he's Trevor Lawrence-ish right now.
Yeah, and who knows what he is, really.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, but it's really comes down to, and what people point to, and I think it's very valid, is look at Sam Darnold, look at Baker Mayfield, look at Geno Smith, with guys who didn't make it initially, and then they found the right spot, and it worked. I think more times than not, it doesn't work on the redos, but there's pretty good history of guys that have flourished in second chances.
There are guys, of course, like Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, or Mac Jones just 1 year in Jacksonville that goes somewhere else and it doesn't work for them. But you're right. Sometimes it works. And And this offseason's really been a great example of that with Sam Darnold and Justin Fields earning contracts from for a third or fourth, however many teams Sam Darnold is on now. I don't know exactly. I can't keep track. Yeah, because he kind of hit a couple there, like San Francisco, Carolina, before making it to Minnesota. I can't remember if there was any other team in there. No, that again, might be
are you confident if you're Seattle? I mean, they are because they are, but it was one really good year that ended awfully.
What a unique situation Seattle is in. We don't have to spend too much time on this, but spending $40 to $45 million on Geno Smith for like 2 years, or $35 to $40 million on Sam Darnold for 3 years, like what it seems to me like you're really splitting hairs there, but that's the decision they made.
Well, and it's a team that got rid of their two best receivers.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. So Jackson Smith and Jigba is a pretty good player.
Is it win now? I know.
Yeah.
Right. But is it win now? Is it transition? There's a lot of teams in very, difficult situations and based on the quarterback.
Yep. And DK Metcalf goes to Pittsburgh, prompting Ben Roethlisberger to come say that maybe he should come out of retirement, but he's like, nah, I don't have it anymore. So glad that he laid that out there. Right. That's not a real thing.
But as the new league years begin or approaching, they have no idea in Pittsburgh who their quarterback is. I believe there's nobody on the roster.
Maybe not.
No quarterback on the roster, which will change.
It will.
By this evening.
Mm-hmm. Of course. NFL, the new league year begins as we tape this podcast at like 1 o'clock-ish. 4 o'clock-ish. Well, 4 o'clock exactly is when the new league year begins. And every team has to be at or under the salary cap. And every team has been given their exact cap number about like carryover from last year and all that stuff. So they know the number they have to hit at that time. And then all these moves become official, and then you can make more moves, of course. Free agency is not over by any stretch of the imagination. It continues. But for the Colts, it began at quarterback. It needed to, because that was the position that the front office had stressed for so long. And it's a position that I'll bring up what Chris Sims said for Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, that I saw him saying. Like, he thinks that Daniel Jones's position is a bit tenuous here in Indianapolis, or just the quarterback position in general, because whoever gets the starting job is what he called it, the first guy in line to be benched. And so it can be an awkward situation if no quarterback leaps out front. And the Colts, in a way, you could argue, have set Anthony Richardson up for failure at the worst or doubt at the least, based on if he starts off next year, if he gets the starting job, and if he starts off struggling.
They start off with doubt in January.
Yeah, yeah. If he starts off 0-2 and he's completing 50% of his passes, then everyone's going to be like, well, what's going on? And there's not going to be the same type of patience there has been, I think, over the previous couple years. But if Daniel Jones wins the job and he comes out and he's 0-2, completing 55-60% of his passes, and is not that much better, fans are going to be like, well, what's this guy doing here? Why isn't Richardson getting the play?
That's why I said this will be the storyline. I don't care how good Tavarius Ward plays. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good Latu is in year two. This will demand attention. And I'll tell you right now, the quote we're going to get from Shane Steichen whenever in camp or at the start of the season, it will be, this guy is our starter for now.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be, until hell freezes over. It'll be until, we decide otherwise. So it's just, that's not healthy. It's not. It's because you're always, whether you're the quarterback who, for obvious reasons, you're always looking over your shoulder, is my next interception my last interception, or the team not knowing, receivers not knowing. These guys probably throw totally different passes, so and there is value in having the same guy throwing to you all the time. That's why once the season starts, the starter is out there all the time in practice.
Right.
The backup gets no work with the first unit, none. So it's interesting. It'll keep us, glued to it. And as much as you try as a writer or a reporter to spread your attention around and let's talk about the DBs, let's talk about the offensive line, it's going to be quarterback driven, because that's where this team is. And I only hope the best case scenario is that Richardson's had a great offseason. He comes in. Not only does he stay healthy, but he's completing at least our whatever our baseline pass number is. I'd 55. And again, like we said, that's awful. But it'd be much better. But just that he gets it. Because there is, again, let's not forget, there is the best way of putting it is some immaturity to his approach, to his position. That's why he got benched two games, which still to me is a major red flag. Not more than the injuries, I guess, but it is. But the best case is he comes in and he's the guy. Doggone it, he's the guy. Jones plays well, but Richardson's the guy. And he stays healthy. Worst case is that he's not, and Jones not only wins the job, but then they don't win with him. Mm-hmm. And then where are you? That's worst case.
Yeah. And Matt, it seems like Jones really did have to make up his mind about this because he wasn't among the players on day one of the tampering period that the deal came out and said it was done and all that. So like he slept on it, whether he wanted to go back to Minnesota and compete with JJ McCarthy or go to Indianapolis and compete here with Anthony Richardson. So like Chat mentioned earlier, like money probably talks, and I can't say I'm sure, but I'm pretty confident the Colts gave him more money. They would have had to probably pull him away from Minnesota, but he had to sleep on the decision to see, should I be a backup in Minnesota or should I compete here in Indianapolis?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what's mind boggling is, I mean, Chap talked about it and you and me talked about it. It was just like, we're talking about Daniel Jones and like debating where Daniel Jones is going to go. And I don't think that is because he had multiple options, whether it was just the two options, whether it was just Minnesota and Indianapolis or whatever. Indianapolis, I mean, $14 million is nothing to sneeze at for, especially just for a backup quarterback. I mean, they played Flacco $4.5 million last year, and I think he could have gotten nearly like $8.7 million with incentives or something like that. And so they're almost – because Jones with incentives is what, over $17
million? $17.7
million, I think. Yeah, so almost $18 million, so over $17.5 million in incentives. So that's a lot of money to sink into that position. So I guess when it comes down to it, when Chris Ballard says we're going to have a quarterback competition here in Indianapolis – he wasn't just blowing smoke because they put some money behind that.
Yep. The money talks, as I said before. So wasn't it a couple years ago that the Colts had two $20 million quarterbacks? Wasn't it Brissett and Rivers
were $20 million? Well, that one year they were paying Luck.
Or was it Luck?
It was Luck with dead money.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you're gonna sink money into it. And if you want to look at the budgeting of the roster, you've budgeted cap-wise, you know, maybe $20 million in these two guys.
Right.
If
which is great for a quarterback. Let's be honest. That's fantastic.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out. And the thing with Jones is, I'd like to know what the Vikings, you know, grunt level was on money. And maybe we get a chance to talk to Daniel Jones in the next week or so. But what went into his thinking? It's obvious, more so in Minnesota, that they're hooked up with J.J. McCarthy. They just are. He's their future.
Yeah, they spent a first-round pick on him.
Right.
So he's got to play.
Right. Now, there's been talk of Aaron Rodgers maybe going there. Well, that changes. I mean,
that does. That would change your dynamics a lot.
But for him to think he's got a better chance to come here and start by beating out Richardson, I think that has to be part of his thinking too. Although, it's funny, for older-time guys, George Young, the longtime GM of the Giants, said whenever a player says it's not about the money, it's about the money. So let's not slough off the fact that the Colts gave him $14 million with a chance of making almost $18
million. Mm-hmm. And he may have seen, you know, he may have seen a vulnerability there that not that he could exploit, but like he'll have he may feel like he has a genuine opportunity at the starting job here in Indianapolis.
And if not, as to beat out Richardson, the fact that Richardson hasn't stayed healthy.
Right.
Play.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So at some point, he's going to play.
And one knock on Jones is he has not exactly been a paragon of health either. He would have played an entire season the year they made the playoffs, but they sat him in the last game of the regular season. But he's not played an entire season. And, of course, you got to put an asterisk by next year or last year as well because he asked for his release. He got it. He went to a different team.
Started like backup. Half the season. Was it 10 games, whatever
it
was.
Something like that.
So, and again, for Jones, this is a great situation. Let's say that Richardson wins the starting job and then he misses however many games.
Yep, you get your chance.
You get your chance, play well, and then going into next season, you can say, see, how I played with the Colts. I've still got it. I can be the guy. So he could get – this could be the next step to a nice contract for Jones in 26.
And for the Colts organizationally, like, there are certain things that you cannot run with Joe Flacco that you can run yes. with Anthony Richardson. And I don't think Daniel Jones is good as a deep ball thrower, has that big, big, huge arm that AR has, but he does have the mobility. And so you're not losing as much from your playbook right. That you would have to do when you have Minshew or Flacco under center.
In fact, Daniel Jones rushed for 91 yards against your Indianapolis
indeed,
Colts.
Indeed he did.
In the very memorable, forgettable 2022 season. In when the
38-10 was it?
38-10. Yes. He threw for 177 yards, two touchdowns, carried for 91 yards and two touchdowns. So a banner day for Daniel Jones.
Maybe that's what stuck in their minds.
Exactly. Dave. It's like, this guy can do this.
If that's the case, Drew Locke would be here.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. let's not remember that too much. But well, plenty more on the quarterback coming in the future weeks. And, of course, when we talk to Daniel Jones, I'm sure that'll be a prime topic here on our Colts Blue Zone podcast. Read all of Chap's work online, fox59.com, cbs4indy.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Colts Blue Zone as a team. The Colts did add a couple more players. And, in fact, Chris Ballard coming through. With what he promised to do is try to shake things up and bring in some more competition. Prior to this free agency, Chap, Chris Ballard had never spent more on an outside free agent than a $30 million contract. And that
which went away is
Jonathan Hankins, first year. Yes.
If you guys don't remember, and then they cut him after 2 years, I think, because mm-hmm. they went to
the 4-3. Right. Yes, instead of the 3-4.
Yeah. And the only other one that approaches it.
Xavier Rhodes, was he? Well, I can't remember what he made.
Phillip Rivers.
Okay. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
1 year, $25 million.
Right.
So they paid, yeah.
Right, but then we're quibbling over other guys. But no, these were the two. I was joking on social media. What was more unlikely, Halliburton shot or Ballard paying $60 million to two free agents?
To two different free agents.
Two different free agents.
I would have picked that.
I know. So, but good for him.
Good for Halliburton, by the way.
Oh,
Chap can't get enough of that shot.
I was sitting there watching that, and my wife sleeping on the couch, and I believe I woke her up when I shouted. But the fact that they did this, it's such a change from what they've done. Yes, he told us that I didn't know that he told us he was going to do quite this much, but he did say that sort of he had to kind of re-examine how he's handled roster building. And this put substance to his words, because again, I've been saying since the off season that the three priorities in my mind was a starting corner, a starting safety, and a backup quarterback. I mean, a legit backup quarterback. Right. And so I guess he's listening to me, although I was certainly not out on a
big
limb.
Fan of the Colts Blue Zone podcast, Chris right. Ballard
listens every week.
So again, I know I wasn't out on a limb here, but he immediately upgraded a really mediocre, and that's on a good day, secondary at the two positions that they had. And maybe they still draft a guy. They're still thin at safety. But now they're not forced into, boy, if there's a corner there at 14, we got to take him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to do that now. I'm not saying they won't, but I – the fact that he stepped up like this, one thing that he always that stuck in my mind from when we talked to Chris Ballard in January, said where, you know, we've got to get to where we close deals. Remember with Daniel Hunter, they didn't close the deal for whatever reason. Maybe throwing $2 million at him would have worked. I don't know. But they closed the deal, and they closed the deal on Daniel Jones. They, again, the Vikings were very much in it, but then the Colts made it, you know, they made the offer that he couldn't refuse. So we'll see if it works out, but the fact that they did that, it's got such it should have such an impact with Anarumo's defense.
And the back end is so important for any NFL defense. Just make the team drive down the field, and if you want to do that, you need a safety or safeties to keep the ball in front of you. And the Colts hope that's what they have out of Cameron Bynum. They offer him a 4-year, $60 million contract. And the length is certainly outside the norm for the Colts in free agency.
But they're both young, too. They're both 27, 28.
And the other player that we're referring to, cornerback Charvarius Ward out of San Francisco. We'll talk about Bynum first. We'll get to Ward, I promise. But since Bynum was the first one to be announced.
To be agreed upon.
Exactly. We'll focus there first. And the Minnesota theme goes, but last year it was the Eagles we were talking about way too much. And now we got to talk about the Vikings way too much because Daniel Jones comes over from Minnesota, Cameron Bynum coming over from Minnesota, and we'll get to Minnesota a little bit more later in the podcast.
More Minnesota ahead. Exactly.
But the Colts needed a safety. Lou Anarumo, like you mentioned, Chap, had strong safety play during his best defenses in Cincinnati with Jesse Bates in particular. But Bynum has played over the last three seasons. He's been durable. He's been in the games. If you follow some Twitter accounts and Vikings Twitter accounts or whatever, or even during games, he likes to celebrate, the good plays. He likes, yes, very much so. So he's kind of infamous for some of the post play shenanigans. Let's hope that those shenanigans are coming at good times
that
during the game.
Reasons.
But there's reasons to make them. Correct. Exactly. And for 4 years, $60 million, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you would hope that there are plenty of reasons to celebrate.
Again, that's what they needed. They were going to lose Julian Blackmon, who has had his moments, but injuries have just been an issue. They just have been.
Even last year.
Right.
Last year when he played most of the games.
Right. So you needed someone to pair with Nick Cross, who emerged, and I hope that was a glimpse of what Nick Cross can do, because prior to that, it just hadn't worked. So, and again, so now you've got two young safeties, and I'm not going to compare him to any other tandems they've had, but when they've had an Antoine Bethea or, you know, Bob Sanders, that he's the alien in the group. You can't compare anybody to that, but to have people you can trust. Mike Adams. Remember Mike Adams?
Oh, mm-hmm. Goodness, yes.
I mean, it's amazing when you get strong play from safeties, what it does. I think the stat is that the past events gave up 69% completion percentage last year. Third worst in the league.
Yeah.
They just pick the team apart, and that'll play into the next guy we talk about.
So, Bynum's one. Charvarius Ward is the second, a 3-year, $60 million deal. So, a little bit of a pay raise.
Some sites had him ranked as the top safety. I think the Athletic had, or a corner, and the Athletic had him as the sixth best free agent prospect overall.
It's pretty good. He's had some good seasons. Last year was not quite as good. He had some personal issues with family off the field. He also only played in 12 games. Some injuries hampered him. But 2 years ago, had a tremendous year in San Francisco.
Fantastic season.
Had five interceptions, played at an all-pro caliber level, and is a Super Bowl champion. He won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs early on, the second year of his career. A guy who was a undrafted free agent out of he went to high school in Mississippi, and I forget where he went. Started off at a community college in college. So he has picked himself up from the ground up. To make it here, to make it to multiple contracts now offered to him in the NFL. But the 49ers were in a place where they had some players that they couldn't afford. Everybody, they're trying to sink some money into Brock Purdy eventually.
Niner fans will not recognize that team.
No, they won't.
It's the change has been incredible.
Mm-hmm. Like it's similar to a couple years ago when they let go. Well, they not let go, but when they traded Buckner to the Colts, when they were trying to change some things around and make their way for Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, and some could have been better. But they're kind of in a similar scenario right now, trying to shed off some old contracts and go elsewhere.
How would you like to pay Brock Purdy $50 million?
I wouldn't like that too much, but I certainly wouldn't. Exactly. It'd be nice to have that. Some Colts fans, I think, would say it'd be nice to have a problem like that. Better than the problem they're in.
One of the rabbit holes will go down. But so many people thought that Brock Purdy was a system guy, and he was so good because of the people he had around him. Well, we'll see.
They're taking everybody.
We'll see what you got, bud. Mm-hmm. So, but again, that's their problem, and you know. But again, it just shows you. The quarterback thing just drives everything for most. I saw something where over the last, whatever it is, 6 or 7 years, the only quarterbacks to reach the AFC championship game are those elite guys, Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar and people like that, and Mahomes.
Yep.
So you get the guy, keep him.
Yep.
And
you get the guy, you have a chance.
Right. And I don't care how bad the rest of the team is.
If you don't have the guy, you don't have a chance. Right. Seems like that. Mm-hmm. That's what the results seem to say.
It's not complicated. It really isn't.
But a cornerback can certainly go a long way in limiting the play of a dynamic quarterback on the other side.
Think
of the ball.
About the impact Stephon Gilmore had.
Mm-hmm.
His 1 year here.
Absolutely. And Ward, he likes to go by Mooney, by the way, a childhood nickname. So if you hear Mooney Ward, that's what it is referring to. But Ward slots in with the cornerbacks. And Matt, we've heard Chris Ballard say over the past couple of years, I like my guys in the secondary. But I think all of us have expected this move, I think, over the last two off seasons. And now they finally get it, signing a veteran guy.
We've not exactly been pounding the table for it here on the Colts Blue Zone podcast. But in some ways, we have been. It's just like, go get a veteran safety, go get a veteran defensive back. And they just refused to do it. And like Samuel Womack was a nice story for the Colts, but he was a late waiver claim, you know, for him. And so they didn't go out and approach anybody to bring him in. I guess I don't know whether or not they actually, you know, went out, but like they didn't bring anybody in, certainly from the outside. And this is just, you know, not what I heard Ballard say things were going to be different this offseason, but I'm not sure I had convinced myself that was going to be the case this offseason. And then, you know, here we are. The Colts spent big on two positions of need. They've got a new defensive coordinator who should be able to employ those guys to the best of their abilities. I think, you know, is it an A++ offseason for the Colts? Definitely a B. Definitely a high-grade B for me.
I'd give it an A-. And again, it'll depend. Again, it'll depend on how Jones does, I guess. But Richardson's got to be the guy. But at least they've taken those steps.
Right. Because we've not seen him do that in the last several seasons. Right.
And again, he told us, too, that in January and again at the Combine, how the secondary has to get better. And again, you can like your own guys. There's nothing wrong with liking what you've got. But that doesn't mean, you know, they say they like their tight ends.
Yeah, okay.
And we saw what we got from them, right?
I know. So yeah, this is – and what this does, it allows, gosh, Juju Brents to not have starter projections on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. I mean, it was a second round draft pick.
Second
round draft picks are starters,
right?
They simply are. But he's missed more time than Richardson has, and just imagine, you know. If he stays healthy and injuries aren't an issue, that's a pretty good top four guys when you include Kenny Moore and Jalen Jones. And Jalen Jones has been up and down. I mean, really. But was he a seventh round pick?
They've got
what you expect from a seventh round pick.
A ton of
production from their seventh round pick.
So what it does, it sort of gives you the pecking order where you really want it to be, although ideally you want the outside starters to be Ward and Brents, and then Jalen Jones to be your four with Kenny Moore, as much as they play nickel being out there. So it's really encouraging, and Anarumo must just be beside himself mm-hmm. with this. I haven't checked your outline. I apologize.
I didn't either, Chad.
But
it's okay.
To lose Dio is huge, but to get the back end settled is encouraging. And one thing I'll say real quick while we're talking about these two guys, these two massive contracts, what the Colts have done this year, another deviation, is they've backloaded these deals.
Yes.
Which they hardly ever do.
Right, because they want to sort of pay as you go.
Right.
But
That's why they're top in the league in dead money in the NFL. They have the least amount of any team.
Correct.
For the least amount of dead money.
Javarius Ward, I believe, is $9 million against the cap, and Bynum is $7 million.
So almost a Raekwon Davis.
Correct. So that's massive, and it's funny how social media said, well, that means they're really targeting Trey Hendrickson. No, I don't know if they were ever – have been in that sweepstakes, but it allowed them to go out and get Daniel Jones, which is a $14 million hit. But it gives them flexibility, and they'll make some more moves. They will. They restructured Braden Smith. We don't know what normally restructuring means. You just move money around. With it, this was means he took a pay cut because he's got 1 year to go. I'm curious to see sometime today. We'll see.
See what the impact is for that.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that they backloaded these contracts shows you that they wanted more flexibility now. So we'll see what that translates into in the next week or month.
I really look forward to seeing the cornerbacks compete, or the safeties, or just the secondary in general this year. Like, if we can pull our attention away from quarterback every once in a while, we'll probably look at the secondary.
And Bynum wasn't necessarily the top safety that was out there, but he's a very, like, he was one of the top safeties, but maybe not, you know, number one or number two.
Who was it? The safety from Miami, Holland?
Holland, Javon Holland, yeah. Maybe.
And Bynum got a much better contract. Well, it was one's 3 years and one 4 years, so probably similar. So they, from talking to people at the Colts, they targeted these two guys. These were their two guys they wanted, and probably Daniel Jones as well. You know, for people, we'll go back to the quarterback, people who didn't want Jones, you wanted Jameis Winston? I mean, really? Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew, you want to go? I mean,
hey, Gardner,
that's where you were going to be. But
run it back.
What they've done?
That would have been vintage Chris Ballard team. Run it back.
That would have been.
Bring back Gardner.
How would that have been accepted?
Oh, that people would have rioted. No offense to Gardner, but people would have rioted.
But fortunately, they're not. But again, I think with these secondary moves were huge, and hopefully, this gives that defense, if you can get Latu to take that next step and you get something from the front, this could be I'm not saying an elite defense at all, but one that's competitive and it's not going to give up those 15 play drives or the deep shots that just can break a defense's back.
Say maybe, yeah, I was going to say, maybe a defense that can get a team off the field on third and seven consistently, because and not give up nearly 70% of their passes.
Right.
Let's shift over to some other moves that have the Colts losing players instead of gaining players. They released Raekwon Davis, which freed up about $6.5 million in cap space. And that was 0% surprising. I think we've talked about that a little bit.
I was going to do a photo rollout on him, but then I tried to think of an impact play that he made during the season, decided not.
I don't even know if they have any photos.
He got two mentions this podcast. That's probably more than he got since they signed him.
Exactly. They brought back special teams ace wide receiver Ashton Doolin, Dave's breakout player of 2021, on a two-year contract. Doolin did score a touchdown in the first game last season against the Texans on a nice long pass from Anthony Richardson. Good catch and run. So he is still dynamic there in the if he gets his opportunities, few and far between on offense, but certainly known more so, Chap, for his acumen on special teams. And if you watch special teams, he puts on a gunning clinic of probably about, I don't know, three or four times a game.
They've had these guys going back to George Odom, probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody, Sergio Brown, maybe before that.
Oh, Sergio Brown, yeah.
And Pascal. So, this contract reflects special teams play. It's not a great contract in the NFL world, but it's a good contract. And we'll talk about them, too. They bring back Penner and Wesley French. As much as the top-end players are huge, this is a league that rewards – and it's driven by difference makers. But you've got to have those guys who give you depth that you can trust and that play special teams. And as we've seen in the past, Doolin can do things on offense. He can give you spot play. Now, over a stretch, it's not going to work.
Right.
But
it's like when Zach Pascal came in on offense. Right. You love him for a little bit.
Right. I don't want him to be my third guy, but he's pretty doggone good as a fourth guy. So. Right. Good signing. Good for Doolin. He's been through some stuff. I think he missed, was it 2 years ago with a knee? I believe it was
preseason injury.
So good for him. There is a place on rosters, not too many. There's a place on rosters for special teams players. There just are. I hope when we get to the end of the day that they've re-signed Grant Stewart. There's a place on rosters for those guys.
You got to have those guys that do the dirty work, and he's one of the best in the league at it.
You also need reliable players on the offensive line as backups, veterans who know the system, know the drill, know what's expected of them when they go in. So if you have to fill in the play in the front does not completely break down, because that's what happens. If that happens, then the whole offense struggles. Right. But Wesley French, Danny Pinter, both re-signed. They're going to get that veteran presence, and you needed both of them to come back because of the players who are now gone. We'll start with Ryan Kelly, who has always said that he wanted to keep playing football, and the Colts were not giving him the contract last year that he would have loved to have to stay here in Indianapolis. But he signs a 2-year, $18 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. And so back to Minnesota we go. Ryan Kelly signs with the Vikings, and in fact, Will Fries as well signs with the Vikings.
Carpool.
Exactly. Let's just head up to Minneapolis together. But a 5-year, $88 million deal for our boy Will Fries. I saw those numbers and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No question why he's not in Indianapolis.
No
right?
doubt about
they,
it.
I really believe they tried to make an offer, an attempt to do it. They wouldn't even approach, what was it? I don't know what 5 for $88 is. It
17 or so.
That when I was talking with somebody with the Colts, they thought he was going to get $14 or $15 million a mm-hmm. year.
Yep.
And that, good for him.
Yep.
I wouldn't have invested that kind of, that's almost Quentin Nelson money.
It's getting there. Yeah.
He's like,
Quentin was $20 million a year.
Right. So you can't do that. I saw somebody said, well, if the Colts re-sign Will Fries, they'll have the highest paid guard tandem in the league. I thought,
oh, good for us.
What? That's not something to push for. It is not. I go back to, please, all the guards out there, please don't send me hate mail. But I go back to Howard Mudd, where you can find guards. You can just find guards. Get you two stud tackles that Howard Mudd always had, always. And he had Jeff Saturday at center, and doggone it, he found guards.
Mm-hmm.
There's 5 or 6 that were quality players, but you don't build around guards. Quentin Nelson's an aberration because of where he was drafted, and you re-sign him. But you can't have two top-tier paid guards. Can't do it.
I want to point something out that you just briefly referenced, and that is the Colts had Jeff Saturday. And that's perhaps one reason why they could go between guards and guards and guards, because they had a reliable, knowledgeable guy in the center that was directing the traffic and making sure those two guys next to him knew what was expected of them. The level of play that Tanner Bordellini has to play with this year has got to be higher, has got to be better, because Ryan Kelly did set a standard over the past decade here in Indianapolis.
Even if his performance
at times
lagged a little bit.
But I don't think, I think last year he had a pretty good year.
I thought so too.
But a couple years ago, yes, there were times when I think specifically he was struggling with injuries. I don't want to put that past Ryan, that his play definitely suffered on the field. However, with him gone, the gauntlet has been thrown for Tanner Bordellini this year. It really has. Expectations, like he needs to raise the level of his game. I know he was drafted to do this. This is exactly what the Colts eyed when they drafted him out of Wisconsin in the 4th round last year, that Ryan Kelly's tenure in Indianapolis was coming to a close. So how much has he learned over the last year? How much has he grown over the last year? How well does he know this offense right now?
He can't be leaning on Quentin Nelson.
Nope. No, he's got to take charge.
Right.
Like, the center has got to take charge and be the leader. And Quentin will know what he's supposed to do for sure.
Right.
But if it's going to be Matt Gonsalves next to him, say, for example.
Which it probably will be.
Exactly. I think so. Unless there's maybe another free agency move to bring in more veteran competition. Let's use that word out there again, that wins that starting job. But without Ryan Kelly, it's going to be different in the interior offensive line, at least for a little while everybody gets up to speed. So we'll see how much Tanner Bordellini has it down pat, because I think without Ryan Kelly, it's certainly a guy who for the offensive line has been a leader in the room for the past decade, but also for the team, because heck, he's on the NFLPA's. I forget what it's called.
Executive committee.
Yeah, but he's a leader in terms of players in the NFL, not just here in Indianapolis. Right. So the void that Ryan Kelly leaves is a big one, both in terms of play, in terms of organizing the offense, and in terms of rallying the team as well as being a leader. So somebody has to step up. I'm not saying nobody will, but I am saying that the void is there that has to be filled.
And again, you don't want to overplay the leadership, the locker room and all that, but it's huge. And there's a lot of guys on defense, I think, whether it's Zaire, whether it's DeForest, whomever. But offensively, right now, it's probably Quentin
Maybe.
Who I'm not sure how boisterous he is. I think maybe he's more by example. Mm-hmm. Ryan Kelly was more, he was the leader. He just was. He was a natural captain. And you had to replace that. So it's one thing to go in like Bortolini and play whatever his starts were last year, 5 or 6 starts mm-hmm. in spots to being the guy. And we talked about Gonzalez. I think one thing that was important to get out of the way is Braden Smith is coming back for at least one more year. Mm-hmm. I think Braden's going to turn 30, I think it mm-hmm. is. So he's not old by any stretch.
Right.
So to get him back at right tackle, if he's back and he plays well, then maybe you extend him. I don't know. We're not there yet at all. But that's going to push Gonzalez into right guard. What that does, it creates who's your swing tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know,
Blake Freeland has been here.
Yeah, they showed last year they don't have much trust.
They jumped Gonzalez right over him.
Right.
So
right. So, but I think the fact that Braden Smith primarily and most importantly is at a good place in his life, because dealing with personal issues, we have no idea what it was. I don't think we'll ever learn what that was. It's none of our business.
Unless he decides to
right.
share with us.
He might. We'll see. But the fact that he wants to play again, and the Colts are willing, are more than willing, because he was a good player, to bring him back. Again, as I mentioned, I'm curious how much of a pay cut he took because he had to. So, but it does give them they're not replacing 3 starters on offense. They're replacing 2, and that's huge.
2 still big, but 3 would have been massive.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. So the offensive line definitely entering a different era this year. And we'll see just how steady this era of this offensive line can be. Another Colts departure is Dio Odengbo. You mentioned it earlier, Chap. Chris Ballard said at the Combine that Dio done everything they had hoped for, right?
He's what we thought he would be.
Yep.
He's getting to be what we thought he would be.
And he's everything the Chicago Bears wanted, giving him a 3-year, $48 million deal. So $16 million a year for a guy who's been a primary backup for his career. And his career high is 8 sacks, I believe it was, 2 years ago.
I think it was in 2023.
This year. Yep.
And then just only had 3 sacks this past year. So like his physical tools are obvious.
And he's 26.
He's 26 years old. He's a young buck. And I $48 million on that. That's maybe what defensive linemen go for now. Right. So like if you wanted to sign him, that's kind of the number that I would have expected, like $15 million or so. So
I think they probably knew more kind of what the number was going to be for Odengbo than maybe they did for Fries.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And if his departure says anything to me, I think like it gives them more likely to keep Samson Ebukam, which I think that's where the writing on the wall is
right
now.
We sort of got that indication. I did from the Combine where I think Ballard said, I'm looking forward to having him back.
Right.
They have to have some confidence that he'll make a quicker recovery from an Achilles than maybe a lot of guys do.
Than some other guys have that we have seen in person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A left tackle, most specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think they're expecting hoping that Latu again elevates his game, and then if that's the case, then you're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a big year for Latu. Big expectation year, I should say. Not saying it's going to be a big year. It might be. Hopefully, it is.
But they're still going to need a third pass rusher.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure who. I don't know that he's on the roster.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who you'd look at the roster and say, yeah, this guy, we can bring him in the nickel and mm-hmm. and really help. Because that's one thing Odengbo did. He could play in, he could play tackle, he could play, you know.
They lost both the guys, like him and Tyquan Lewis, who've been like swing guys, can go inside and outside. So to not have that versatility, that's going to be also a different era of defensive line.
They're going to need Tyquan to bounce back from what I thought was a down year for him.
Yeah.
But they need a third pass rusher, and we'll see. It's they're just hard to find. It's just hard to find guys out there. Who's he got the big contract? Harold Landry got a big contract.
Patriots?
From Mike Vrabel.
Yep.
So those guys are just when you have a guy at the end of the year, you say he got 8 sacks for us. or you, you know, that's the guy they need to find who can come in and play rotational and get you 7 or 8 sacks and be a force.
Mm-hmm. The Colts do have more free agents who will officially become free agents at 4 o'clock today as we tape this podcast Wednesday. Tight end Mo Alie-Cox, safety Julian Blackman, defensive tackle Taven Bryan, quarterback Sam Ellinger and Joe Flacco, offensive line Mark Lewinsky, tight end Kylan Granson, safety slash linebacker Ronnie Harrison Jr., running back Trey Sermon, linebacker EJ Speed, and Grant Stewart, wide receiver Julian Winfrey. Out of all those players, Chap, who are the most likely you think return here if they go out and see that maybe they're more valuable here than they are elsewhere? You mentioned Grant Stewart earlier.
Stewart, yeah. Beyond that, I just
not a ton that are obvious to you?
No, I just you need better. For whatever reason, they've liked Taven Bryan. I don't. Maybe they would
like him more if they played him in his natural position.
Well, maybe the fact that they cut Raekwon Davis. But no, I would bring back Grant Stewart. One, he's not going to cost you a bunch.
Right.
And he's that special teams guy that was it one game he played, have 19 tackles?
Yeah, he can fill in admirably at linebacker. Again,
don't want 2 months of it, but those are the guys like Doolin that are so important. I'll be very, very surprised if Stewart does not come back.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I know that they like Stewart here. And he,
the other names, I'm just thinking, okay, this...
Everybody keeps overlooking Mo. Mo Alie-Cox, our guy at tight end. I know
this,
he's not...
Is this finally the year, right?
Is this finally the year that he goes elsewhere? I'll say it again, and I've said it before, that what he does is valuable, that being a blocking guy is valuable. But looking at what the Colts did last year at tight end, just how... the lack of production they had top to bottom, you can understand kind of an overhaul at that position, which would mean
he
him
come
leaving.
Back here after talking to him, he wants to have a chance to play more and do more, not play more because he played a lot, but to do more on offense. Would he come back here with the understanding that he's sort of the sixth offensive lineman in a lot of sets? I don't know.
Right.
I'm just thinking they're going to totally reset that tight end room with the exception of Will Mallory and maybe Jelani Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
Drew Ogletree still has a year left on his rookie year,
right?
too. Like
right.
he and Jelani.
I'm sorry. I meant Drew Ogletree.
Okay.
Not Jelani. Get those two guys mixed up.
Yeah, because Jelani, we have no idea really what Jelani is going to do.
But I think we're going to, in a couple years, we'll remember that Mo Alie-Cox was a great story and a very good player who the Colts saw the best of.
Yeah, they got the most out of him that they could get.
Mo will continue to play. I just don't think it's here.
Matt makes a note down here before we wrap things up. Do you think that the Colts have any chance or any make a real play for Trey Hendrickson at all in terms of making a deal and getting him here to join Lou Anarumo, his former defensive coordinator?
I would care less what the draft pick compensation was. I don't third round pick. I don't care if you can get him for a third round pick, do it. But are you going to pay a 31-year-old pass rusher
$30 million a year?
$30 million a year.
Yeah, and since they backloaded those other contracts, to me also makes it harder to do an extension. But then you can also play with that.
But you can do it. That gives you some flexibility to do that. And again, they've got 3 or 4 players they could go to and create some pretty significant.
That's true. That's true.
You could go to DeForest. You could go to Quentin, Michael Pittman, Taylor. There's 4 or 5 guys that you could create $20 or $30 million in a heartbeat.
And then you've got enough to give the pass rusher an extension.
If you wanted to. If you want to give him – and again, his play's not declining. He led the league in sacks last year.
Mm-hmm. 17 and a half.
Right.
The Browns just gave Myles Garrett $40 million a year as an edge rusher.
And that's kind of Hendrickson's, like, he doesn't necessarily want to – leave Cincinnati because he hates it, but he's seen these contracts that Max Crosby's getting. He's seen the contracts that Myles Garrett's getting. He's like, guys, I led the league in sacks. Don't you think I should be getting some of that money too?
I wonder what his market is in terms of money. Is it 30? Is it? I don't know.
It's got to be over. It's got to be north of 30. Like, first of all, I've got to think it is.
That would really say something if the Colts did that and gave him, because again, Whatever the numbers are, $35 million or whatever, you know. So 2 years, $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to give him $40 or $50 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that's real. That's not monopoly money. That's real money. I just don't think they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that you had him to that front four with DeForest and those guys.
And then you would be like, holy crap, Chris Ballard, what pod person has replaced you?
Right. Yeah.
This is my last thought for today. If you spend all that money in free agency and it's all on the defensive side of the ball, Daniel Jones as well. But if it's all safety, corner, defensive line.
You're talking about $120 million on the defensive
side. If there's no starter dynamic player that you want to help your young quarterback succeed,
that's what the draft.
What are you doing?
That's what the draft will do.
Yeah, okay.
I
know that's what they would do in that scenario.
If I understand what you're saying, but the only other thing they would have done in your scenario is to go after
a DK Metcalf.
Okay. I think they believe first that's really what kind of a contract did he get? He got
30 a year, something like that. Yeah, it was big deal.
Yeah, that's. I think they believe that adding one of those tight ends will make a big difference. Not the difference that you're talking about. Right. No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Boy, that would have really at that position, that would have been so. Who the hell's what'd you do with Chris Ballard and who are you?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll give you that. That would have been an over the top move, but mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying.
Yep. So we'll see what happens over the next week. Of course, like I said, free agency's just beginning. There's a lot of players, a lot of good players out there. And the Colts are gonna need a backup running back for sure. We haven't talked about that much at all, but Jonathan Taylor's not gonna be the only one running the ball. And it's not just going to be a rookie, I think, that they bring in behind them. I think it's going to be a veteran.
The average was at 22.1 carries a game,
mm-hmm.
23.
There's a lot.
It was the most since Edgerrin James in, like, 2005 for this team.
They want somebody else to take some of those carries. But, right. I mean, they're still going to give him the ball all the time because he is their best offensive
Correct.
Player. So
Correct.
They're not going to completely take that away from
him. They're not done yet, but they're better.
Yep.
They're better today mm-hmm. than they were.
They certainly are.
In January.
I agree. And they'll be getting better, hopefully, over the next couple weeks. And as
DK
free agents,
Metcalf, huh?
DK Metcalf would have been really, Ooh. Really, really interesting to me. But anyway, we do appreciate listening to the Colts Blue Zone podcast and watching us as well on Fox 59 now and on YouTube too. Follow us on Twitter. Matt Adams is at Statamatty. Mike Chappell is at MChappell51. I'm Dave Griffiths at DaveG_sports. We'll see you next week on the Colts Blue Zone podcast.